Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Like every aspect of life in 2022, large tech corporations and social media have a part to play in the war in Ukraine. And the idea of hackers striking here at home is back in the papers. It's so scary. Adrian Weckler is the tech editor of the Irish and Sunday Independent, and he joins me now to talk about it. Adrian, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. Great to have you on, and thank you so much for doing this. So, Adrian, why is Ireland in an important position in relation to how tech companies operate in this ongoing war in Ukraine?
Because all of the big tech companies are here.
They're
if you
here.
Literally go down, drive down the quays in Dublin, you'll see half of the world's biggest tech companies, Google, Facebook, Instagram, a mile or two away. Microsoft, you know, TikTok is here, Microsoft is here, Twitter is here. It's ground zero for where half the world's communications are.
Wow.
And that means that if there is a proliferation of the cyber attacks, which we're already starting to see spill out of Ukraine, there's a new one identified in the last 24 hours. There have already been two very serious ones since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. If it spills over and if it gets nasty, then Ireland could be in the firing line, maybe directly, maybe not directly, but you know, we won't escape the effects of it.
Every time you come on, Adrian, you have this knack. It's like a skill or a superpower. I don't know what it is. Just speaking the truth. How are these companies, how are they responding already?
Well, like, so the tech companies themselves have already taken some actions. Don't forget, there are EU and US sanctions, which would affect companies based in Ireland. So Intel, for example, its biggest chip plant in Europe is in Leixlip in County Kildare, and it has already stopped selling stuff into Russia. The likes of Apple, Cork's biggest employer, it has stopped the sales of iPhones and Macs into Russia. TikTok, which recently set up here in Dublin as its European headquarters, it's suspending live streaming and uploading new content from Russia. Google won't allow, which is one of Dublin's biggest employers, won't allow apps to be paid for, subscriptions in Russia, and the list goes on. Airbnb, PayPal, Dell, Cisco, Oracle. So they've all started to either stop selling their stuff in Russia, or they're restricting what Russians can do. I mean, one of the search engines, DuckDuckGo, has now followed Google in starting what they call downranking sites associated with Russian state media or Russian disinformation. So in other words, if you look for something, a subject on Ukraine, and if you're using DuckDuckGo as your search engine, which some privacy advocates do and they like, you won't see a result from the Russia Today, you know, in the first three or four pages. And if you don't see it in the first three or four pages, you're not going to see it. So there's quite a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. And Elon Musk can never say the limelight even popped up in Lottie's Entertainment News. But what's he claiming now?
Well, I mean, where to start with Elon Musk? I mean, in the last 24 hours, he directly challenged Putin to a fight.
Lovely. Lovely. Like tops off out the back, fisticuffs fight.
He posted a picture offering a pay-per-view deal, and he posted a picture of Putin riding a bear and him with a flamethrower.
Oh God, you're not joking. Oh God, really? He did
that? I'm not
that.
Joking. No, he did it. Now, you know, would he turn up with a flamethrower to fight Putin? I don't know. But then, you know, we've said a lot about Elon Musk in the past. I mean, he thinks he's being constructive by trying to get more of his Starlink broadband, his satellite broadband connections into Ukraine, and he's launching more satellites to do that. He also has kind of run the gauntlet the other way. He says he won't censor or downrank, censor really, Russian state propaganda from his systems because he's a libertarian on free speech. There's about five other things he's claimed,
right.
But you know, he's one of Twitter's biggest has one of Twitter's biggest following. So what he says usually gets attention.
And how are both sides of the conflict using social media?
Well, if you both sides, let's take Russia to start. So Russia has banned Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
In Russia, and the reason it's done that is because very unusual ruling that Facebook made is that it is allowing users to call for violence against Russians serving in the Russian army. Now, normally that would count as hate speech or violence. We've talked about this before. Mm. You're not allowed to go on social media and call for a mob to attack, you know, X group or Y group. It has suspended that rule in certain circumstances when it comes to Ukraine and the Russian army. So Russia has banned Instagram and Facebook for that reason. A major battleground is Telegram. We've talked about that before. So Telegram, it's not just an encrypted, secure private messaging service. It also has, it's becoming a de facto social media site in itself. The Russian embassy in London, in Dublin, for example, you know, which has drawn a lot of ire in recent times for claiming that the, you know, the maternity hospital, for example, that was bombed, that that was fake and set up, that it, that now is quite active on Telegram. And both sides are using Twitter quite extensively. So the social media, this war is being fought a little bit on social media as well.
Okay. So what are the things for us like to keep in mind, like the average user here, what should we bear in mind with all this on social media?
A couple of things. First of all, just beware of videos that you see posted that aren't from verified accounts, or even if they sometimes are from verified. And when I say verified, I mean they would be accounts from authorities or established media journalists who have gone through something of an accreditation process with the social media company themselves. But a lot of videos and news snippets that are posted are old or outdated or aren't real. The biggest one, I suppose, was that one that you'll remember from the island on the Snake Island in the Black Sea, when the Russian, the Ukrainians there told the Russian warship to get away from themselves. And I'm being polite in my language. Yeah. And it was reported widely that then they were shelled and they were killed. Well, they weren't. And that was covered. The Guardian, the BBC, everyone covered it. And they weren't killed. They are understood to still be in captivity, but it was kind of an irresistible story at the time. So just beware that it's very difficult sometimes to get the truth.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, what about the idea of another major Russian hacking attack, like what happened in the HSC? I mean, how credible is that?
Well, Minister for Foreign Affairs Simon Coveney was out the other day saying that it is a credible threat, that we should be aware of that. He said that both the private sector and the public sector, including the HSC, by extension, might be at risk. I interviewed Ireland's new cyber chief, the head of the National Cybersecurity Centre, Richard Brown, the other week, and he said that we are now at a heightened state of alert, they're the words he used, against cyber warfare fallout from the Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And he said that, look, it may not be that there's a direct state-led attack on our infrastructure from Russia itself, but what he said was that because of all of the fallout, if there are going to be huge malware attacks, and if financial services, for example, in any sector of there is attacked, it's going to be attacked over here. And what he's really worried about is the same type of ransomware attack that brought down the HSE and caused 100 million quid.
Okay, so he knows this is potentially coming. Are they taking precautions? Are they doing something about it, Adrian?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question. Simon Coveney says that we are, and he says that we're investing heavily. His definition of investing heavily would be a small fraction of what most countries in Europe regard as investing in cybersecurity service. I've written about this ad nauseum. Since the HSE attack, we have a tiny, tiny budget here for cybersecurity. In fairness, they have increased that. They've doubled it and they're doubling the staff here in the National Cybersecurity Centre. But that is still very much a kind of a coordinating role. We don't kind of have an army of cybersecurity defence people who are out there.
Like other countries?
No, we don't. We don't.
Okay. And other countries have that.
They certainly do. Right. If you look at one of the most recent global listings, we would be 52nd around Tunisia and those
like
kind
the
of
World
countries.
Cup?
The UK's second.
Right. You know? Oh, God.
So it's not like the World Cup.
Yeah. Oh, can they not just change their password?
They
No.
could change their password and try and, you know, restart and reboot the machine again, but no, I don't think so.
Because I remember when the HSE thing happened, and just specifically because Lottie was having her baby at the time, and everything was on paper and backed up on, you know. Is that what they might have to do in the meantime because it's so unsecure online at the moment?
In the specific case of the HSE, my God, you would hope not. So, if there's one thing that they've learned from the tens of millions that have been spent since that
Okay.
attack, it's that they've backed their systems up, that that won't happen again. That's the hope. Having said that, Jen, I wrote a story a few months ago saying that the HSE and Ireland's Health Service, I still have thousands of computers that use Windows 7, which is obsolete.
Jesus, that's
So, look, fingers crossed that won't happen, but unfortunately, this is Ireland.
tell me about this lad who's now head of cybersecurity. What's his name again? You
Richard
mentioned
Brown.
Richard Brown.
Richard Brown.
Richard Brown. Is he qualified for the job
He's
or?
very well qualified.
Okay.
He's worked there for a while. He's quite an impressive figure. He has a good grounding, not only in cybersecurity, but also in national security. But with the best will in the world, and with all the skills that he has, he's still looking at a handful of people that he's working with. He's, you know, they don't have the systems to compete with, you know, even mid-table countries, let alone giants like, you know, Russia or China or the UK, which would be a giant as well. He is quite impressive, but I
He
could
doesn't have
not
the
rely on.
resources.
Not yet,
Not
anyway.
yet. Okay. So, Adrian, just for people listening and the average listener and user online, is there anything we can do to protect ourselves?
Yeah, there is. Make sure the usuals that you have an up to date. If you're using a computer, desktop, or a laptop, make sure it's up to date. Make sure that your mobile devices, etc., are up to date. Don't be stupid as well. Don't be clicking on things
Stuff.
on emails. It's quite hard because sometimes you'll get a text that seems to be from your regular bank. In other words, it's in the middle of your existing text conversation with your bank.
Yes,
That
I've had them.
yep. And there'll be a link, and the link sort of sounds vaguely familiar, like it'll be the name of your bank and then something like helpcenter.org or something like that. Beware that that's still rampant out there. Don't click on those, because that's the kind of thing which will be supercharged from the Ukraine fallout.
Oh, well, the warning is good, and it's always good to have you on because I think you just remind people to be so vigilant with those text messages and those emails and changing passwords and all that kind of stuff. Adrian Weckler, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. That was Adrian Weckler, tech editor of the Irish and Sunday Independent. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.